Blog Talk Radio.
And she knows that she can't be a part of it because she doesn't have legs.
but she's willing to make that change for herself. And all of a sudden, she sees this guy, and he's really, really cute, and I don't remember if she knows it at the time that he's a prince, but he's really cute, and he's really rich, and her dream of becoming a part of this world and a part of the human world changes from it being motivated by her own dream to being motivated by this guy and wanting to be with this guy. And then to make matters even worse, she meets Ursula and gives up her voice, which is her biggest talent, her most prized possession. She gives it up in order to even have a chance with this guy. She wasn't even guaranteed life with him. She was guaranteed 3 days. And she was willing to give up her voice for him. And, you know, then in the end, when she finally does decide to be human, it's for him and not her. And that really kind of ticked me, because I know that when, in my past relationships, and especially in this last one, with my husband, soon to be ex, I realized that I have kind of sacrificed and changed who I am and have become a different person because of the person that he is. And I take full responsibility for that. I'm not trying to say that, you know, it's all his fault. I take full responsibility, but...
it's that compromise you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That you compromise who you are and what you want and your dreams and goals and everything for the person if they're not willing to get their 100% like you are. Yeah, and that, whenever we were talking about this before with the recording, it seems like a little weird, a little shocking one. Which he said, which is so sweet. And then he said that he likes to to watch her play dodgeball because she has a really good arm, she's really fast, and she's fierce. He said those things. I'm quoting him exactly. And he said, anytime I see that she doesn't have a ball, I give her one. And we, I mean, my friend and I were just like, oh, my goodness. I have to show too much emotion. I'd be like,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
But when he left, she was saying, I love what he's saying about her. That he's not saying, well, she's really pretty, and, you know, doesn't that, he liked that she was talented at something.
Yeah.
And then I said, and he was, like, here, you know, giving her
the
tools
exactly.
to excel. And, like, here, you're good at this. I'm going to help you do this.
Yeah.
That is awesome, you know.
And how old is he?
I think he's either 7 or 8.
Wow.
Isn't that sweet? He's going to be an awesome guy someday to have. I mean, wow.
That is. Oh, man. My mind is, this is the second time I've heard this story, and my mind is reeling right now because there is so much depth in what he said.
I know!
Like, just what he
said,
like, he not only likes to watch her play, but he wants to encourage her. He wants to encourage his talent.
It's not like he's like, hey, I'm going to, you know, watch me be good at something. He just likes watching her be good at something.
And not only that, but the fact that he played it out whenever she doesn't have a ball to give to her, like, I think he understands innately that any time that someone isn't spending on their talent or what they're good at is wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my gosh.
I know. I thought that was good. Just give me hope, you know, for the future that there are, you know, people and, you know, boys that are going to grow up and be good, encouraging, like, you know, whatever, whether they just choose to get married or not, or what, you know, just in relationships.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was really encouraging to me.
I don't know if we want to go into it this episode, or if maybe this is a good topic to elaborate on later, too. But I was just thinking, like, I mean, we have two more movies that we're going to discuss, but going back to Little Mermaid, I was remembering that scene where he gets in the shipwreck and he's washed ashore and she comes and saves him and she sings that song. That song.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about these movies from the woman's point of view. But what about looking at it from the guy's point of view? Like, with him, he fell in love with her because, what, she was pretty?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
think that's
weird.
I know.
No.
I think that's another, I mean, these movies don't just skew love and marriage for girls. They skew love and marriage for boys, too.
I think so.
Like, they're pretty much telling boys that as long as the girl that you're with is pretty, then that's the only thing that
she
has to offer. And
that's the goal.
Exactly.
Get a pretty girl.
Yep.
That's it. That's, yeah, and that's really weird and scary. Because, you know, but anyway, yeah.
And it's even more strange to talk about these movies like this with you because nobody else talks about, I've seen a couple articles on blogs, you know, but nobody is really, 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 really talking about these movies like this.
Right.
And it almost seems like a veil has been lifted off of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of weird to think about these movies like this.
But I think, you know, regardless of if you watch these movies or not, or you know, I just think that having parents model what a relationship should be like is the most important thing because, you know, the boy that I'm talking about, his dad, really respects his mother. And he's, you know, he's not a perfect person, but he's a really good guy and he, you know, cares about his family. So I think that's, you know, that's a huge share. So, you know, I don't think that just because your kids watch these movies, they're going to turn into these
people.
Right,
exactly. Because
obviously we watch them. Right, we did too. But, another movie we wanted to talk about was Beauty and the Beast, which I also really loved as a kid. And I went to see it at the theater. I remember it very well. But, and I loved Belle because she was a bookworm, which I was in Slam, and I just love that she seems so sure of herself. Yeah, and just she was her own person.
Yeah.
And she liked who she was. I don't know. I just really, really liked her a lot. But, you know, and I liked that she was kind and that, you know, she cared about her dad and that she, you know, was even kind of defeated to whatever happened and she gave up, you know, or she gave up her kind of life for her dad, you know, to not be. So, I, you know, she's a really good person. But I just don't understand, you know, the beast, really. Because at the beginning, it's saying that he turned away this beggar woman.
Yeah.
He just seems, like, the picture of him, because I've seen it recently, he just pointed at her to go away, like,
yeah.
Really rudely. And I just feel like he's not a good person in his, you know, heart or whatever. And that's why he was hurt, you know. And then he just has a vicious temper and anger issues, and he storms off, and all that. And it's just, that's kind of scary to me because she falls in love with him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we should love people in general, even if they have, you know, got their flaws and everything, but he's literally a beast, and that's scary
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an adult now. It's like, oh my gosh, that is so scary.
Well, I think. When we were first talking about what movies we wanted to discuss, she brought Beauty and the Beast up, and at first I didn't agree with you. That's why I had you take this over, but it just occurred to me that Beauty and the Beast, like, the theme of it is that a girl can change man.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
just by loving him.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm walking proof that that is not true.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It's very odd to me that, you know, I kind of ended up in a relationship like that. That's kind of weird, and
yeah.
I don't really want to dive into thinking about that, but it didn't work.
Beauty and the Beast is kind of an interesting movie to think about in the terms that we're talking about it in, because the Beast is in the same position that Cinderella was in. He was in a really bad spot, and only true love would set him free. And
yeah, why? Why is that?
I
mean, yes, learning to love, because I think that was part of the by the time the rose, you know, whatever. I mean, yes, that's, I don't know. I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, we should learn to love people, but that doesn't mean that we're just in a romantic relationship.
Exactly.
Because it
yeah.
wasn't in a relationship in the first place. It was a woman who was in need
trapped
of love.
There.
Then we have to learn to love a woman who he's going to get married to.
Right.
What does that have to
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Why is marriage the goal in all of these movies? That's what we, you know, that's what we're wondering.
Yeah.
And then the worst culprit of all. The worst culprit.
No way.
Yes. The worst. The absolute worst.
So, we have a woman who was a... like a threat to another woman, and she then banishes her. Not only that, but she sends somebody to kill her, and the guy, the huntsman, obviously doesn't do it, so she shacks up with these seven dwarfs and does all the cleaning.
Oh, man. I didn't even think of that. It's terrible.
Oh, goodness. And then she gets poisoned by an apple, falls into a coma. And the prince takes one look at her, falls in love, somehow kisses her, and that kiss wakes her up, and then they get married. That's pretty much what it is in a nutshell.
I feel like it's one of the worst culprits, but I just looked it up, and it's from 1937.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. I'm trying to justify it here, because this is bad. This is terrible on so many levels.
There's a song by Sarah Bareilles. It's about exactly what we're talking about. And we're going to post it on our Facebook page because this is really cool. It talks about how I don't want another fairy tale. And the part about Snow White, I can't remember the exact words, but it talks about her cleaning. And it talks about how, she's cleaning. Something about because he meets seven guys or something. I don't know. It's a really, really funny song. And I don't think I've ever heard it on the radio. We'll put a link to that on our Facebook page. So really, the theme that we found in these movies, in all of these movies, is we're in love.
Love, quote unquote,
yeah. So we're in love. What's next? Oh, get married. Okay. And then you've mentioned this already. Why is marriage the goal?
Right.
Like, why does marriage have to be the goal?
Exactly.
Why can't
all of these movies?
Yeah.
They all get married, right? Am I wrong?
I don't think so.
I think they do.
Pocahontas was, I think, the only movie where they didn't get married, right? Because he went back to England and she stayed. I don't think they got married.
I don't remember. But it's interesting that all of these movies.
That marriage is the goal. And it's the ending. And marriage, and I think a lot of times marriage is the solution, like for Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
She was being controlled by her evil stepmother and stepsisters, and she was made to clean and blah, blah, blah. And once she found a guy, it was the solution to all her problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, going further into that, I think a lot of people think that marriage is the solution. Mm-hmm. So if your husband, I've heard this a couple times. My fiance has cheated on me. He has a wandering eye. Well, get married. You know, get married and reel him in.
Marriage. I really think that marriage is going to solve that. You know, I'm not saying that anybody who thought that is stupid, because I thought that getting married would help all my problems too, which that wasn't one of them. But I thought that it would make things better too. So I think that's a common, idea. And I feel that I think our society has obviously placed on us in relationships through these extremely popular movies that people have seen their whole lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. And, I mean, it's not just there. This is just tip of the iceberg, really.
Yeah.
Because, you know, media, music, everything. Yeah. You know, I have noticed, and this is really weird, most commercials, I don't know why I noticed this, but tons of commercials, like if it's, you know, a woman and it's for, like, you know, detergent or cleaning products or whatever, they always have a wedding ring on. I'm telling you.
I've never noticed that before.
In a situation. The woman always has a freaking wedding ring on. I am not kidding. Just look for it.
I'm going to notice it now.
That's your homework. Look for the series of wedding rings on. You will find some. It might be less than it used to be.
Maybe, yeah.
Nowadays, and you know, because things have changed, obviously, but I'm telling you, so many, and magazine ads, too, most of them, projects people together.
So, I already know the answer to this, but besides Frozen, what cartoon movie would you suggest is like the anti
Brave?
Brave. Uh-huh. I thought you were going to say another one. Yes. Tangled.
Oh, they do get married.
Oh, okay. They
do. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't show it, but they talk about it.
I haven't seen it.
But I still like that movie, too. But right. I like that Rapunzel is a strong kind of character, and I like that, you know, Maribel is also, and that she doesn't want to get married, and she kind of questions it. You know, that's Pixar, but it's still Disney.
Yeah.
Affiliated.
Yeah.
And I really like that a lot. So that movie makes me feel happy and inside, like, and finally, you know, a strong girl.
Yeah.
Not this pretty princess, like, type. You know what I mean? Like, long hair and, you know, dresses that look all fancy, you know, like you're going to go all 24/7. And then, you know, and I like that one. I woke up and her hair was all crazy. Like,
yeah, I love that part.
Yes. And then they show, I feel like they show stuff with Rapunzel. dolls. She's all perfect all the time.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess the summary is marriage isn't the ending. It's only the beginning. And even if you don't get married, just, you know, the relationship when you commit to that person,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about the beginning of something, not the end.
Very true.
All right, so we're going to go into our DIY segment, and Jenna had a really good idea for energy bites. So tell us how you make energy bites.
Well, I can't take credit for coming up with this because I've definitely seen them on the site, and I've seen it in other places too.
I think I've seen it on Pinterest.
Yeah. But it's actually really easy, and I don't have a specific recipe. That's what I like about it. You can throw it together with whatever you have. And it,
yeah.
Packed bites, and there's oat, and that's the main kind of ingredient, quick oats, because you don't have to cook them, obviously. And then you could add, like, crushed up Cheerios in it for more crunch. But I kind of like it without.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add, like, a nut butter or, you know, soy, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever kind of butter you like. I usually use peanut butter because we're not allergic. And then you add anything else, really, that you have on hand, like, you know, craisins. You could probably add some nuts in there if you had any.
White chocolate chips.
Yes.
Oh,
I've done regular chocolate chips. I've done mini chocolate chips.
Crushed up dried strawberries.
Yeah, you could do that. I've done raisins, and raisins are kind of my favorite in it. You could add any of that stuff, get it to the right consistency where you can make, you know, the ball, like, you know, in your hand. And so if you kind of add as you need it, like more oats or more whatever crushed up things, but, and then just keep them in the fridge, and I guarantee you they'll be coming up with the same thing. They're so good, and anybody I've ever told about it, they all have their own ways of making it, and everybody always eats all of them immediately.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I used to make stuff like that for the farmer's market, and I called them granola cupcakes, and I melted the white chocolate that's in the brick, almond bars or whatever.
Yeah.
I melted that and then dipped the ball in it, and so it had like an icing on top, but it was just the white chocolate.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah, so simple, easy snack.
Mm-hmm.
Make really fast. I like that kind
of stuff. I like that.
And no real recipe, because I know there are a lot of people like me who don't really like following recipes, unless it's like baking, you know, which is necessary.
Yeah.
But if it's just something to throw together,
and you can have a different flavor.
Yeah, every time.
Yep. Okay, well, I think we're about done. So, thank you for joining us again. This is our fourth episode. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we've had four episodes already. I know. It seems like yesterday we were talking about all this stuff, and we were like, we should share this with people.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yeah, we should do a radio show. And we're like, okay.
Our website is up. Eric got it all ready for us and started us, and it's shortlybrokenradio.com. And you can check us out on Facebook, and you know, we're adding things as we go along. There's ways to get in contact with us if you have a show topic idea, or if you have questions or comments or concerns or anything like that at all. We're here, and just let us know. So.
All right. Well, hope you have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye.